As the battle over abortion continues to rage in America, how can we bring a pro-life argument to change hearts and change minds?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, friends, it's been over 10 years that I've been on daily talk radio 5 days a week, and we've gotten countless numbers of calls over the years. Some of the most moving calls to this day, some of the most painful calls to this day, have been calls from mothers who years back aborted their babies. One I remember from the father of a baby that encouraged his girlfriend to get an abortion. And these folks are calling 10, 20, 30, even 40 years after the fact and still feeling pain over it, recognizing that this was a precious human life. What can we do to encourage life? What can we do to encourage those struggling with the question of abortion to choose life? What can we do to turn the tide against the militant, angry spirit that we saw during the Kavanaugh hearings? And as you know, the rage during the Kavanaugh hearings, the intensity of the emotion, it wasn't over Brett Kavanaugh, it was over the issue of, quote, the right to abort a baby. Well, today we want to strengthen you, we want to encourage you, and we want to tell all of you, especially everyone listening all over North Carolina, we want to tell you about something very important happening this Saturday. I'm joined in studio today by Justin Reeder, who leads Love Life Charlotte. He's been on the air with me previously, and you won't see him on camera with me, just our set up in studio doesn't allow for that. But Justin, great to have you back with us on The Line of Fire.
Dr. Brown, thank you so much for having me, man. It's a privilege to be back.
So, Justin, tell our listeners and viewers about Love Life Charlotte, those who are not familiar with it, and then we want to talk about what's happening this Saturday.
Sure, yeah. So we've been around for 3 years. We started back in 2016, and this is our third year doing this. And Love Life is here to unite and mobilize the church to create a culture of love and life that will result to an end to abortion and the orphan crisis. What we say is we believe God has called the church to shape the culture. Politicians, legislation will follow the culture. And we're seeing a culture shift where families now are starting to run to the local church instead of the abortion center, where even the workers inside of these abortion centers are pointing and directing people to the local church.
All right. We are used to a lot of hyperbole and big religious talk, and people saying this is happening, that is happening. But Justin, that's not who you are. When you talk about people coming to the local church with questions about abortion, or even abortion workers pointing people to the church, that's not hyperbole. So Justin, give me some examples of what you're talking about here.
Yeah, one great example is we had a mom choose life in 2016 at the abortion center, and she went on the mobile unit, saw her baby, got the free ultrasound, made that choice for life, and she was offered this, our mentor program. Every family that chooses life says, hey, can we follow up with you? Can we walk with you through our mentor program? This mom was one of the very first to enter into the mentor program. She said yes to that. The church, the local church, did an amazing job of walking with her. Little did we know that her aunt is the manager of the abortion center. And this mom is being loved on and cared for, help move them into a better housing situation, throwing them a baby shower, helping provide for the first 2 years of the child's life. But all of this is getting reported back to her aunt, who again runs and manages the local abortion center here in the city. And as that was happening, all of a sudden the people out on the sidewalks took a different picture for her. This was love and action for her. It was happening with her niece. And so the manager began pointing people as they were coming in for abortions, saying, hey, those people out on the sidewalks, they really will help you. They really will walk with you because they're doing it with my niece.
Incredible. So, friends, tangible love showed in practical, hands-on ways speaks louder than the media, speaks louder than the political world, speaks louder than the ads that you see running. Love walked out, lived out, makes a massive difference. And there are certain things that only some people can do. Some people can write books about abortion. Some people can raise funds to help provide for children that are going to be born that wouldn't have been born. But there are certain things that every single believer can do. If you are on two legs walking, or if you're in a wheelchair, there's something you can do, and it will send a loud message to the society. So, Justin, tell us what's been happening with week after week of Love Life Charlotte, and then what's happening this Saturday. So just 5 days from today, this Saturday, what's taking place?
Yes, sir. So we do this over the course of 40 weeks every year. Why 40 weeks? Because that's the time from conception to birth. We ask each one of our partnering churches to take at least 1 week out of those 40 weeks to mobilize their people. And so we've had 170 churches that have now partnered with us to do just that, that have taken at least 1 week every single year. And we've mobilized now over 34,000 people for our prayer walks at the abortion centers. We launched in Greensboro this year for Love Life Triad area. We also launched in Raleigh this year for Love Life Triangle. So we're doing this now in three different areas across North Carolina. And we are now literally next door to the three largest abortion centers in North Carolina. God has given us 2 acres of land right here in Charlotte, next door to the abortion center, literally next door to the abortion center, the largest one in the Southeast. And we will occupy that land for the very first time this Saturday, November 17th, on week 40 prayer walk. We'll start up the street where we normally start, walk down the street and go onto that land for the very first time. We'll be praying, be worshiping, testimonies of moms that were in that clinic that came out and chose life with their babies there with them, ex-abortion workers there. And same thing in Greensboro. There's a church. This is an amazing story. I think it really speaks to what's happening with the church as a whole. There was a church right next door to the abortion center in Greensboro. And they had been silent on the issue for 9 years. And but I have grown. I got to share the vision with this pastor earlier this year. And I give it to him because he had such transparency when he met with me. He said, I haven't spoken about this for 9 years that we've been here. But he began to walk out repentance. He locked arms with us. He became one of our anchor pastors in Greensboro. And on his Sunday launch at his church, about 1,000 people in his church, a predominantly African-American church, he stands in front of his people and he publicly confesses and repents and says, "You've not heard me talk about this for 9 years, but that's all going to change." The title of his message was, "We will no longer be silent, we will no longer be deceived, and we will be present." And he began walking this thing out, and he invited his people to come to the altar in response at the end of the service to see who would stand with them. The altar flooded with people at the end of the service. On their Saturday prayer walk of their week, they mobilized. They do a great job of mobilizing 200 to 300 people that Saturday for the prayer walk in Greensboro. Three families choose life at the abortion center in Greensboro that Saturday. Then the power goes out in the building, resulting in 0 abortions on Saturday. I'm telling you, you can't make this stuff up. God was just so pleased with it. It was true repentance and walking it out. It wasn't just a prayer of, "God, forgive me for my apathy." He actually turned the other way and began running at the scene with us, and God showed up in an amazing way.
Incredible. And friends, listen, your presence makes a difference. Let me say it again. Your presence makes a difference. If someone says we're mobilizing Christians in our city to make a statement for life and to say we care and we want to make a difference, and three people show up, that is a very muted message. In fact, it looks like nobody really cares. And even in the eyes of the secular media, it looks like nobody even cares. It certainly tells the abortion clinics and others nobody really cares. But when you have 1,000 people or 5,000 people, that shouts an incredible message. And when the spirit of those people is one of grace and love and forgiveness and life, that makes a massive difference. Justin, why is it so important that there are people actually physically present this Saturday, November 17th? Why is this not the kind of thing you can just stay home and pray? And why is it so important to physically be there?
Yeah, well, we are children of the light, and God has called us to be the salt of the earth, the light of the world, a city set up on a hill that will not be hidden. We can't be hidden. We can't keep this thing inside of the four walls of our church. I was doing a video in front of the abortion center a few weeks ago, and one of the protesters came over and started berating me in the middle of the video. And the thing that stood out to me that the church has to hear, Satan showed his cards when he said this. He said these words. He said, just stay in your church buildings. Just go back to your churches. Just stay in your buildings. They're upset that we're showing up to the dark places. For so many years, they've had their way in these places where nobody knew they were even there. Out of sight, out of mind. Listen, we carry King Jesus with us. When we show up, when light shows up, darkness has to leave. Our presence matters at these places. And this Saturday, we have an incredible opportunity to show the world, to show the state, to show the cities that we gather in, that the church is alive and well, and we will not be silent. We will no longer be deceived, and we will be present.
So, Justin, folks that are going to be there on Saturday, what can they expect? Obviously, there'll be some time of worship. There'll be corporate prayer. Will there be testimonies from either moms that were going to abort their babies or from people who used to work in the abortion industry? Will there actually be some testimony Saturday as well?
That's right. We will have live testimonials of all of that. Ex-abortion workers, moms that have chosen life with their babies there, foster and adoptive families that have risen up with their adopted children, pastors that once had their head in the sand now are awakened and mobilizing like never before. Worship and prayer, the word of God will be read. It's going to be a powerful time to gather. You're not going to miss it.
All right, just let's get the details again. We'll give them to you once more a few minutes from now, or twice more at least. But exactly where, what time, is it one location only, several locations? Is there a website folks can go to? Let's make sure everybody knows.
Three cities, Charlotte, Greensboro, and Raleigh, this Saturday, November 17th, from 9 to 11 a.m. All of the details are on our website, lovelife.org. When you go to the website at the very top, you'll see more info. You click on more info, you'll get all your parking information. You can RSVP there. It's this Saturday, November 17th.
All right. Last year, I was literally on my way to India, but was able to get to the rally and speak right before flying to India. This year, I was originally already scheduled to be out of state, so we especially recorded a video to encourage everyone to do here and taking all this airtime on the radio to do our best to shout out, no, not shout out your abortion, but to shout out life, to shout out a better way. And if you're listening right now, if you are a woman who's had an abortion or you're involved in the abortion industry, Jesus died for those sins also. You can be forgiven. You can be transformed. You can find new life. There is hope. You have not committed the unpardonable sin, but you need to turn to the Lord with all your heart and say, Lord, forgive me, wash me clean, grant me a new life. Friend, he will do that. We'll be right back with Justin Reeder, Love Life Charlotte. You want to be part of this? Change the world.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, friends, just during the break, I read an email excerpt from a woman that called our show last year as a Planned Parenthood worker and saying she's a Christian and was conflicted about being there. And I spoke with her on the phone, urged her, this is your last day there. You could never work there again. And then she began to break down crying and talked about, you know, they call it products of conception, their babies. It was one of the most moving calls we ever received. We were able to immediately connect her with other believers. And I just heard from Justin, she is going to be sharing her testimony. She called it anonymously. She wrote me the other day and said, no longer anonymous. So Justin, what's happened to this woman, Crystal? We know her name now. We immediately were able to hook her up with those that helped her financially because it was a hardship to leave Planned Parenthood. They really pushed her. They offered her more money. I mean, this was a battle. This was a battle for her soul. But what's happened to her since?
Yeah, so she left Planned Parenthood in Winston-Salem as the manager there when she called into your show, and really was the catalyst for her to have the courage to walk out of that place. But we've had the privilege to walk with her since leaving there, and just being a friend to her, helping disciple her, and being there through Christmas time. There were some families that wrapped around her for Christmas time, got gifts for all the kids, brought a Christmas tree to the house, And now God is really using her voice, her testimony, to speak to so many others. I was in Raleigh with her about a month ago, and she shared in front of a group of 300 or 400 about her story, about what was happening inside of those buildings. And she said something that's very significant. I think everybody has to hear. When she said this, when I was live with her, she said, "It's even worse than you think it is."
Mm.
Inside, she's talking about everything you think's going on in there. She said it's even worse than you think it is. And so she has obviously a unique perspective to speak from, and she will be sharing this Saturday in Charlotte at the prayer walk.
All right, friends, to get directions to find out the addresses, because this is in three different locations. This is growing in North Carolina. Go to lovelife.org, Saturday, November 17th, 9 to 11 in the morning. And Justin, in a moment, I want to touch on how churches are coming together, how this is bringing unity in the midst of the divisiveness of our society. But you mentioned in the last segment an African-American pastor in Greensboro who had not spoken about abortion and said to his congregation, "You've not heard me speak about this. It's years. You've not heard me speak about this. I'm going to change that. We will not be silent anymore." That's especially meaningful to me because I've seen Satan in particular target the African-American community. And just like there was an attempt to wipe out Moses before the deliverer came on the scene, there was an attempt to wipe out Jesus before he came on the scene. I've looked at this attempt to wipe out Black Americans, that there's a disproportionate number of abortions among Black Americans. And I see this as a satanic attack on a people called by God with divine purpose. So it's so important to make clear this is not a white man or white woman battle. This is a battle of Satan against humanity. And he has targeted some groups, it seems, even more than others. So, Justin, why is it especially important that people from all different ethnicities and backgrounds are out this Saturday to make a statement for life?
Yeah, well, first off, it's Jesus's heart. We see that's his prayer in John 17, that we shall be one as he and the Father are one. Why? So that the world would believe. Mm. Our coming together, our unity, is evangelism. It helps bring the lost to Christ. The way we love one another, care for one another, stand together is evangelism. It's a reflection of the Father's love. And so it's extremely important. Anytime Jesus talks, you always pay attention, right? But especially when he's praying and he's asking the Father for something. And this is his heart. We see it all throughout Scripture. So, and we're seeing this happen. We're seeing Baptists next to Pentecostals, next to non-denomination, next to Presbyterians, different races standing side by side as the family, as the body of Christ. And what one great story about this is in Greensboro, again, there's a Japanese restaurant right next door to the abortion center. And this guy has had the courage and the boldness to allow us to gather on his land, which he doesn't have to do. He's allowed the church to mobilize onto his land for prayer walks right next door to the abortion center. They were Buddhists. They were following that religion. And the owner's son saw the church coming together across denominational lines, across racial divides, coming together week after week to stand as the body of Christ. And in his restaurant, after one of our prayer walks, he says, "Will you develop me? I want to follow this Jesus."
Wow.
Because he saw the body of Christ alive and in action and standing united together. And I'm telling you that it really is evangelism when we come together in this way. And back to the pastor who's next door, who has a church next to the abortion center. You know, he said that he was like the ostrich with his head in the sand. But the truth is that really we all have been that. Just because your church might not be literally next door to an abortion center, it might be 5 minutes down the road or 10 minutes down the road or 20 minutes down the road. But the point being, this pastor had such transparency, and he walked out repentance. Repentance might begin with a prayer, mm-hmm. but it's really an action. It's something that we walk out. And that's what we're seeing happen as the church is coming together and God is using the battle to unite us.
And what happens when you're at one of these abortion clinics? Some would say better to call it an abortion mill in terms of the reality of what happens. You're out there with a truck offering women an opportunity to see their babies, see an ultrasound. What happens? What have you seen happen? What have your workers seen happen in front of their eyes when the mother who's on her way to have an abortion first has an ultrasound?
Yeah, anytime a mom goes on the mobile unit and sees her child on that screen, sees that baby moving his arms, moving his legs, sucking his thumb or her thumb, 90% of those women choose life. It's a staggering number. And so we've been able to fortify the lines in Greensboro, where they now have mobile units there 6 days a week. Same thing in Charlotte, and Raleigh is building. We have a few days covered right now. But it's an incredibly powerful tool. When people see their child, there's a real connection with that child. The motherly instinct begins to be restored. The fatherly instinct begins to be restored. We become so callous to this thing called abortion. But when you see that child, it has such a great impact.
So on Saturday, the event taking place this Saturday in three different locations in North Carolina. Again, go to lovelife.org to get the details. You said that there are going to be some testimonies from not just former abortion clinic workers, but from women who chose to have their babies. So what can folks expect in terms of some of these testimonies from the mothers and or fathers themselves?
Yeah, so one out of four women will have an abortion in their lifetime, but it's also one out of four men. And we believe that there's so much healing and restoration that needs to take place within the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to have testimonials of moms that, and dads that have had abortions in their past that are going to share their story of how they have found healing and freedom through Jesus. The old is gone. The new has come. They're a new creation. And so we're going to hear stories about that happening here in Charlotte, Greensboro, and in Raleigh. And I truly believe that these are the Navy SEALs of the movement. People that have walked through this thing, that are getting it out in the open, that are getting set free and healed. We've had 70 moms just in the last several months in Charlotte that have come out to our prayer walks that have now gone through what we call our restored life ministry, where they go through a post-abortive Bible study where they name their child and they get set free. 70 just in the last few months here in Charlotte have responded to that. We want to see the church get healed and restored.
And as far as overall statistics where you can say, hey, these were baby lives saved in 2018 in the different cities, areas where you're involved. Do you actually have numbers for that, that you can say, hey, with confidence, this is what we saw with our own eyes in terms of mothers that were on their way to have an abortion and then decided against it?
Yes, we're right around 430 families that have chosen life in 2018. And over the last 3 years, we're over 1,200 families that have chosen life at the abortion center.
Mm. So friends, just think of it. Think of your neighborhood. Think of your community where there are 1,200 lives that are going to be there that wouldn't have been there. Think of the schools and the chairs with children sitting there. Think of the people being productive citizens in society. Think of the people knowing the Lord and making him known. That's because people like you and me and Justin himself in the business world, but feeling called by God to make a difference. Because people said, we can do something. And look, I know that many of the problems we face are overwhelming. And you think, well, what can I do? It's just too big. It's like this massive mountain. If someone says to you, all right, fix the national debt. It's like, yeah, right, sure. That's how we often feel with abortion and the statistics so staggering. And then we see some of the radical, militant, pro-abortion spirit and how ugly that is. But friends, hearts and lives are changed one at a time, and just by showing up for a couple of hours. You don't have to know scripture verses to quote. You don't have to be able to answer arguments. All you have to do is be there physically with your family. This is a family event. Everyone can come, moms, dads, kids of all ages. 2 hours this Saturday, 9 to 11 in the morning, November 17th. Go to lovelife.org. Justin, one last minute, give your final encouragement.
Yeah, my encouragement and my challenge to you is the same as what Elijah did for King Ahab and the people in his day. He said, how long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him. I think it's a time in history right now where we stop doing the religious dance. We stop doing the back and forth. It's time for us to take a strong stand for life. This is the number one moral issue of our day. I truly believe that you brought up Moses. Listen, Satan is up to the same old, same old. He tried to wipe out the young in Moses' day, but deliverance came on the other side. He tried to wipe out the young in Jesus' day, in Bethlehem and the surrounding area, but deliverance came on the other side. We even see that in the Holocaust. In the early 1940s, he tried to wipe out the Jewish people. What came on the other side? Israel becomes a nation. Here we see an atrocity on a scale like never before through abortion. 60 million just here in America have died. I ask the question, what is coming on the other side of this? I believe major breakthrough is coming.
Friends, be encouraged. be part of making history, of changing the trajectory of history this Saturday. LoveLife.org. And if you live out of state, by all means be in prayer and then say, what can we do in our state to make a difference? We'll be right back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Friends, I want to give you an opportunity to testify. If you had an abortion, or if you participated in the abortion, maybe by paying for it or encouraging someone close to you to have that abortion, and you've experienced pain and grief over that, and you would like to share that with others, perhaps to a young woman pregnant out of wedlock who's struggling with the idea of having a baby, or what would happen to her if people find out she's pregnant. Or perhaps you are a married woman and you're just pregnant one more time than you want to be, and abortion seems like the easiest solution. I would love for you to hear some of these stories. So if you yourself had an abortion, and if it's something that you've ended up regretting, give us a call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. There is a movement today, one of the most upside-down, twisted movements imaginable, called Shout Your Abortion. Who can imagine that? Shout Your Abortion. It's one thing if you had an abortion and you're ashamed of what happened, but you had an abortion, or you have mixed feelings about it, or you struggle with it from time to time but felt it was expedient. Obviously, I'm sure there was a better alternative. God's ways are ways of life. That being said, that's not the kind of thing you're going to shout out to the world. You might even feel it was more morally justifiable. Of course, I differ with you deeply from the heart, but to shout it out is something very twisted. It's calling light darkness and darkness light. So if you would like to testify, you would like your voice to be heard, give me a call, 866-348-7884. I was just speaking with Justin Reeder, who leads lovelife.org, now with three different locations in North Carolina, doing a tremendous job. They have seen hundreds and hundreds, actually in the last 3 years, over 1,200 mothers, families choose life, choose not to abort their babies. Some of these mothers have now come to the Lord. They've been discipled. They've been strengthened. Abortion workers have come to the Lord and have left their work behind to testify for the Lord. And I want to encourage you that your voice can make a difference. And I want to say to everyone that's guilt-ridden, that still struggles over this, maybe you're a follower of Jesus. You think, yeah, but I took the life of my child. Yes, you did. And Jesus died to forgive you for that. Just like any other sin, he died to forgive you. And it's possible that you were acting in ignorance and in fear, more than just decided, hey, it's the easy thing to do. Either way, when you turn to him and ask for mercy, when you turn to him and ask for cleansing, when you turn to him and say, God, I'm guilty, that was a terrible thing to do, he'll wash you clean. He'll give you a sense of relief. He doesn't want you to live with ongoing guilt. Nonetheless, your voice can be very powerful to warn others, to testify to others. And in all the years I've done radio, some of the most memorable calls have come from those who had abortions in the past, some decades earlier. And as they shared their hearts, it brought life and hope and freedom and warning to many others. 866-34-TRUTH. And yeah, feel free to be completely anonymous. You don't need to give your name. If you'd rather not even give your city or state, that's perfectly fine. And that has happened quite a few times with callers, something this sensitive. But we want to focus on life. We want to encourage you to choose life. So we'll go to the phones shortly. There is an article on lifenews.com. New Planned Parenthood CEO. She says, I plan to expand abortions. we have a moral imperative to kill babies. Did you get that? We have a moral imperative. Now, she didn't say the word to kill babies, but this is what she's saying. They're going to expand their healthcare services. And last year, they brought in something like $1.5 billion in income, and a third of that coming from our tax dollars with all the positive things President Trump has done for pro-life. Planned Parenthood is still not defunded. This must happen. This is abominable that American tax dollars go to support Planned Parenthood. And the new CEO, Lena Wen, Chinese immigrant to America, she does not specifically mention abortion, but she talks about the situation in which we find ourselves today. And then she talks about how in this situation that there must be more healthcare options, etc. So they're going to expand. In other words, they plan to kill more babies this year, Planned Parenthood. And we need to do what we can to stop that. And there is another article on lifenews.com, and it says, watch, horrible pro-abortion ad shows beautiful newborn baby, says it's okay to abort her. And as I'm speaking, those that are watching on video, you'll actually see the video footage. We're not playing the ad on the air for you to hear the audio because it's just a cooing baby. But it shows this gorgeous little girl, this gorgeous newborn, presumably a little girl. And it says, you know, she deserves to be wanted. She deserves to be a choice. In other words, if you don't want her and you didn't choose to have her, kill her. It's mind-boggling. I mean, if you want to put out a bad ad, it could not be worse than that for your cause. That is an ad that says, have that baby. That is an ad that says, the child in the womb, that's your kid. Your kid could be just as special as that little one you're looking at. Wow. May a culture of life rise. May the tide turn. May the voices of those who have now jammed our phone lines, every phone line taken, may your voices be heard. And may all of you that I'm about to speak with experience true forgiveness, true relief of guilt. May your voices make a difference. All right. Well, we start with an anonymous caller in Arizona. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thank you for what you do, but the devil is a liar and a deceiver. And this, you know, from 40 years ago, I made two horrible choices, which I wish I could have done. I feel like hopefully God does forgive me, but to whoever's considering it, don't. There's so many other options. Don't do it because it will follow you the rest of your life.
Mm.
The amount of money that's, save the puppy, save the cat, you know, SPCA, save the whale. You know, what we've gotten, our society has gotten so jaded. It's gotten so jaded to where we think more of a dog or a cat or whatever than we do an embryo. Because we never see, we see beatings and shootings on TV.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we got jaded by it.
Yeah.
You know, and we have. And it takes more and more of that, more and more. But I don't even, I wish I had the time to have written this down before I called, but it's so, please, there's other options.
Let me just ask this. When you had those abortions 40 years ago, what was your reason 40. Yeah, what was your reason for doing that?
I thought I was too young, and it was accepted. I didn't think, you know, in my mind, where my mind was back then, you know, into substances, I had become, even at 18, I had become,
yeah, look, when you're doing drugs, right.
I'd become cold, and I made myself feel cold so I didn't have to deal with that at the same time, and it did lead, it was a big, cause for my drinking over the years, which thank God I don't anymore. He's delivered me from that.
Wow. So friends, hear this warning and be assured if you've asked the Lord to forgive you, he does forgive. So here are decisions made 40 years ago. Regret it today. And those decisions then led to more substance abuse, to more drinking, to more coldness and hardness to put away the pain of those wrong decisions. Hear these voices, my friends, 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Mia in Virginia. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. Thank you. Thank you for everything you do.
You're very welcome.
I did have an abortion at a young age. I was 17 years old. I'm 39 now. And something that whenever I hear the topic come up, I can barely bear it. Even now, like, it's very emotional, and I didn't really want to call, and I agree with the caller before me, the devil is a liar, because I almost hung up the phone, but I know that this is something that needs to be talked about, and our voices do need to be heard. There are two sides to this, you know. They're saying that it's okay to have an abortion, but it's definitely okay not to have an abortion. I was 30, and I got pregnant again for the second time, and you just get kind of programmed like that's what that's an option. Like, you know, it's an okay option. And I remember the Lord telling me, you know, because the father was not, the problem was that the father wasn't going to be there. So I'm thinking, okay, well, I have this option again. I can do it. And I remember the Lord telling me that I'm the father. I'll take care of your child. And he has provided for my child. So I just wanted to say, too, you know, if you find yourself pregnant in the situation, please reach out to these pregnancy centers that are out here that are pro-life and, you know, they care about you. I actually volunteer for one now. I am still trying to, you know, get that healing. The father of the first pregnancy, he was against it. He didn't want me to have an abortion, and he ended up marrying a woman who could not get pregnant for 10 years, and it was something that just killed me. Because I knew that he really wanted the child. And luckily to this day, he now has three children. I actually had a dream about him having children before it did. And I told him that he would have two sons. And he had a son first, and then he had a set of twins. Thank God. God is faithful.
Yeah. Well, listen, I want to thank you for having the courage to call and share this, both the regret over having an abortion and then God saying, I'll be there. I'll help you. Have that child, and you chose life, and yes, now giving your life to make a difference. Friends, if you're considering an abortion, there are pregnancy life centers all around. You can get online and just look for pregnancy centers. There are folks standing by wanting to help you. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Friends, I was just looking at the Shout Your Abortion missions statement. It's utterly shocking to see this. And there's the real concern, Roe v. Wade going to be overturned. Shout Your Abortion is a decentralized network of individuals talking about abortion on their own terms and encouraging others to do the same. Let's shout there's a better way. Let's shout there's mercy and forgiveness for those who've chosen to have abortions. Let's shout there is a way of life for those who are pregnant now and considering abortions. Friends, go to lovelife.org if you live anywhere in North Carolina. Three major events taking place this Saturday. Be part of history. Be part of the thousands who will be out this Saturday. Three different locations in North Carolina. Thousands will be there participating. Your voice will be heard. This will be a great testimony of the unity of the church around life. And you'll hear from many with amazing testimonies that will encourage you and strengthen you. And as our phone lines were instantly jammed, I want to say to everyone that's on hold and those trying to get through, I am going to do my best, news cycle permitting, life permitting, to open the phones again tomorrow to talk. All of you that had an abortion, participated in an abortion, that want to warn others, that want to speak to others, I'm going to do my best to make room tomorrow as well, because we won't be able to get to every call. And I know many of you trying to get through right now that can't. So let's go back to the phones. Mary Ellen in Salt Lake City, Utah, thanks so much for calling today.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Brown.
You're very
welcome.
Am I on? Yes, okay. You're on, please.
I wanted to share with you that I had an abortion 30 years ago. And I was married, and I was married to a man that is still my friend. I've been divorced, and he was very self-righteous, and I already had two children. I was on a business trip, and I was raped, and I couldn't tell my husband because I knew he would condemn me and hate me, and if I did keep the child, I didn't believe in abortion. I was the person that was out marching against abortion, and but I knew it would be cruel to my baby, and I just thought, anyways, I made the mistake of having the abortion, and I've lived with it, and it's hurt me and haunted me for many years. I was an alcoholic for 30 years, and I'm sure that's a big part of it. I just gave up drinking on Thanksgiving. It'll be 1 year that I've been sober. And I just barely started reading the Bible 6 months ago, thanks to this radio station and a church, a pastor that I found that just pounds in your head constantly, don't believe in me, go read the Bible, you know. Trust in the Bible, not me. And I always trusted in religion and man. And, you know, my father and my brothers and the male leaders in my life. And now I'm trusting in God. And I'm so thankful that, you know, today you reminded me that I am forgiven, that Jesus died on the cross for me too. But it's... I know that I am forgiven. I just want, you know, women out there to, you know, not to have to live with the heartache. I wish I would have been braver. I wish I would have kept my baby. And
well, Mary Ellen, you're brave now to call, and it's hard just to restrain tears on this end. You're brave to call. And you're brave to share your story with others. Please hear these voices, friends. Hear these voices today. Call after call, all with the same message. Don't make the same mistake I made. Women with broken hearts of regret, decades later, 30 years later, 40 years later, don't make the same mistake. And if you have, do what they've done. Turn to God and ask for mercy. With all your heart and all your soul, ask Him to forgive you and give you a new heart. Mary Ellen, you're helping people choose life today. And don't beat yourself up over the past. Now you've grieved, you've repented. Now move forward and let your voice be heard as a witness for Him. It sounds like you're in good hands in that church. And we're so blessed that we could be on the air right there in Salt Lake City, Utah. Thank you, Mary Ellen, for calling. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's get a male voice. Stanley in Virginia. Thank you, sir, for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call. I'm very ashamed. I participated in the payment for abortion. And I always thought that I just pushed it back in my mind for a long time. And I felt real... I'd pushed it so far back, I didn't think God had ever got me, or just that it mattered or something. I don't know my thinking, you know. I was in church one time. I went to a church after so many years, and a lady prayed over me, and she prophesied, and she told me, I see in your life where you have been involved in an abortion, and I didn't know that somebody could know. She prayed for me. She said, God forgave me, but I pray any man out there that's got somebody in their life, be an encourager. Don't do it. Don't do it. I'm sorry. I'll let you go.
Well, friends, what can you say? What can you say? Here, the Holy Spirit says, I know you. I know what you did. But there's mercy and forgiveness. God bless you, Stanley. Your tears, your broken heart will save lives today, sir. You move forward, forgiven by God's grace. Wow. Friends, a little bit hard just to continue to speak right now. Let's go to Gastonia, North Carolina. Marita, you're on the line of fire.
Hello, Dr. Brown, and thank you so much for what you do. And my heart and my prayers are with those that I've already heard on the line sharing about their experiences. The good thing that we know is, of course, that God is a healer and he forgives us.
Yes.
He allows us to go on and live on. I had my abortion when I was 19. I was in the military, and I was overseas, and this was the first person that I was with. I had grown up in the church, and so I knew even the very act of what led to me conceiving a child was wrong. And the church that we grew up in, while I learned the word, it was a very legalistic setting as well. And so the practice was that when somebody stepped outside of the will of God, they were basically shunned if they were called up to the front of the church and embarrassed. And I knew that my mother loved me tremendously. And I also knew the church that we were rooted in at that time, grounded in. And so my abortion came, I decided to make that choice because I just couldn't see myself, number one, having a child and knowing that it would be the constant reminder. He would be the constant reminder that I had stepped outside of God's will. And then I knew what it would mean for my mother, the implications to my mom of the church finding out that, you know, I had done this. And so I remember actually just having dreams about what the baby was going to be. I kept dreaming that she was a little girl who looked like me, and my heart would just break and it would ache as I would think about her. And I would remind myself, because I repented, and I would remind myself that I'll get to see her, you know, once I go to with the Lord. But I did end up again getting pregnant again. And this time I was 21 by the same person. And though it would have been really, really easy, Dr. Brown, to collapse and go back the route of having an abortion, because that seems to actually be the method of birth control that was happening on the base where I was.
Yeah.
I could have done that, but I just decided that I was not going to do it again. I was not going to do that again. And I've got to tell you that while that sounds like it was a very bold step and it definitely was the godly thing to do coming out of an ungodly situation, you would think that that would have brought some relief, but it just continued to remind me of the child that I did abort. So when I did have my son, it took me a while to figure out how to love him, how to embrace him. And I know that tracks back to because I would not allow myself to get deeply connected to the child that I aborted. And so it's not just about my emotional feelings. It wasn't just about those emotions. It played out in terms of how long it took me to connect with the child that I actually had. And so for those that are in the church, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, Marita, I just need to jump in. We are just about out of time. I wanted you to get your whole story out. And what's so important to hear, friends, is that sometimes it seems like the right thing, the right decision, the easiest way to go, but it never is. And then the other implications, Marita, I'm so glad you shared all that. Thank you. And friends in the church, don't condemn those that have fallen, made mistakes, done wrong. Say, hey, we're here to help. We're here to help with healing. And friends, go to lovelife.org. Let's be part of history this Saturday.